that is a blessing, so I'm thankful for that. Haggai chapter number one. Really, the songs go in nicely with what I'm preaching this evening, and to deal with the work of God that we have, because we have a work, amen? There's a work that God has for us to do, and because we have been blessed, you know, that's reason enough to continue in the work that God has given us. And in the work of Gateway Baptist Church, hey, you have a work to do. Every local church, every Baptist church has a work to do in the community, in the world. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity that God has given us. Brother, what time are you generally out of here?
When you get done.
When I get done. Oh, my goodness. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I won't be long this evening. Haggai chapter number one. If you found your place, you can go ahead and stand. Haggai chapter number one. Haggai chapter number one. We're going to read these verses here this evening, and thankful for the opportunity tonight to be able to preach the word. Verse one, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, but bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. He says it again, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house, that it is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. I have entitled the message this evening, Procrastinating in God's Work. Procrastinating in God's Work. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. How many of you have any projects around your house that you have not finished? Raise your hand. All right, we have some honest people in here. So, hey, that's the thing. We have some projects. We have different things that we do, that we begin, projects that you start at home or maybe even on the job, or different things that you start and you don't finish those things. You have that work that you desire to do, but things come up. You don't have enough time, resources. Hey, projects take resources and they take time. I actually just remembered I have some projects for my dad that I have not finished right now. I was went on a hog hunt. I have some mounts that I was going to make for him, and those mounts are sitting in my garage, still not done. So I need to get those done for you, Dad. Sorry about that. But no, we have those things. We procrastinate. We get on these things. Procrastination is simply just putting off the things that need to be done, the work that needs to be done. Some of you teenagers might have put off some schoolwork. You might have put off some homework. towards the end of the semester or something like that. But listen, we all are in danger of procrastinating in life, but also in the work of the Lord and the work that God has for us to do. And we're halfway through 2026. Can you believe it? We're halfway through. And I ask us this evening, I want us to reflect on, have I procrastinated? Have I put off on what God has called me to do? And the work that God has called us, maybe even as Gateway Baptist Church, Brother Josh, or us as individual believers, have I put off that? Have I procrastinated in what God wants me to do? I want you to consider that tonight. And hey, listen, there's still time in 2026. Amen. There's still time, and you can continue, and you can get back to where you need to be in the work of the Lord. And we find the events here in Haggai in Ezra chapter 4 through 5. And we don't have time, obviously, to go there tonight, but I encourage you, go read that in Ezra chapters 4 and 5. And Haggai has been called the Builder's Book. After following the 70-year exile in Babylon, nearly 50,000 Jews were to return to Jerusalem to build back the temple. To build everything back, to build back what had been destroyed. That is basically Haggai's message, is saying, hey, it's time to build back what is now laying in rubbish and what has been destroyed. Get your priorities right and build this house. Amen. That's his message. Rebuild what has been destroyed. And what we can see from this whole chapter is that God is not pleased with the remnant. He's disappointed with the remnant. Basically, the whole theme of this first chapter is that the people of God, God's people, procrastinated on God's work because they had misaligned priorities. Their priorities were not in the right place. And listen to me tonight. Number one, procrastination in God's work isn't a resource problem. It's a priority problem. Listen, if we are procrastinating in the work of the Lord, in the work that God has called each and every one of us to do, it's most of the time it's not a resource problem, but it's a heart problem and a priority problem. Amen. And so we need to understand that. And for probably around 16 years, think of this, 16 years, the temple remained desolate. Yes, Brother Joshua was lying in rubble. For 16 years. And listen, get this. The very thing that God allowed these 50,000 Jews to go back to Jerusalem for had still not been done. The very thing that God had called them to do was not being done. They had grown apathetic and complacent. And listen, I understand. You can say, well, Brother Brian, there were enemies. There were people hindering the work. And I understand that. And that's always going to be the case in God's work, by the way. There are always going to be enemies. There's always going to be opposition to the work of the Lord. And so there was a season where they had to stop. I understand that. We understand those realities, but listen, they had grown apathetic and complacent. And Haggai approaches the leaders, Zerubbabel and Joshua, and tells them, hey, it's time to quit with the excuses and get back to what God has called you here to do. He says here in verse number 2, thus speaketh the Lord, this Haggai, the messenger, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, their excuses, the time is not come, the time that we should build, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They were putting off something that should have been done. I wonder why they did this. Fear, perhaps. Materials. That could have been an aspect of it, but think about this. In the book of Ezra, if you go look and see, you're going to find that God had supplied them with everything they needed to build and to repair that house. Everything that they needed. And listen, what are they doing? Well, they're sitting there in their sealed houses. This is speculation, Brother Josh, but perhaps they used the materials that they were to build back the house of God for their own houses. Perhaps they used the materials that God had said, okay, this is for my house, but they had used it for their own house. So I don't believe it was a resource problem. I believe it was a priority problem. Their priorities were out of line. And they said this, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. So there's this idea, it's not time, God. It's not time, Haggai. We can't build the house of God. Well, then God asked them a question. Well, can you build your own house? He says, is it time for you? So it's not time for you to build my house. But look at verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, the house that I called you to rebuild, is it time for this house to lie in waste, to lay desolate? They were prioritizing their wants and comforts over the work of God, over the work that God had called them to do. Their nice and comfortable homes were being built and had been built, and God's house still lay in rubble and destruction, completely wasted. Hey, their excuses of time were not valid. They had time to build their houses. Apparently, they cared more for their wants and for their comforts more than God's work. And listen, a people that had been, this goes right in line with the song, I've Been Blessed. The people that had been blessed by God, and God had given so much to them and had been so gracious and loving and merciful and kind to them, were now just content with their houses, and God's house just lay there. It's a priority problem. Listen, this evening we can do the same exact thing that the remnant of Israel is doing. We can be procrastinating in what God wants us to do. Perhaps we blame it on our time and on our resources. But you know what? That's rarely the issue. It's rarely the issue that we actually have a lack of time and resources, but we have our priorities misaligned. You know, I was thinking about on the way over here, I'm not a mechanic by any means. If I were a mechanic, it'd be a YouTube mechanic. So I watch everything on YouTube, and I can figure out some stuff. So my dad taught me that. But listen, if you need your tires aligned, you're going to feel it on the road. You're going to feel it. You're going to start to drift. You're going to start drifting, and you need that realignment to get back on the road right. And listen, sometimes we just need to go back. We need to look at what God has called us to do. By the way, everything that God has called us to do is right here in this book. Everything that He has called us to do is right here. We don't have to wonder, Brother Josh. We don't have to wonder what God wants us to do. We don't have to. You don't have to be in the pews sitting. What does God want me to do? Hey, God has called you to do what's in this book. Right. And listen, sometimes we just need to realign our priorities with Him. Right. Because procrastination is oftentimes it's not a resource problem. It's a priority problem. And they were up here, it says right here, they were in their sealed houses, and this house lay in waste. Listen, God wants you to prioritize a relationship with Him.
Yes, sir.
I know this is Sunday night crowd. This is the faithful. This is the faithful crew right here of Gateway Baptist Church. I'm so thankful for you being here. But listen, someone could be here that's not saved this evening, and you know it. You know it, and you keep putting that off. Your priorities are out of whack. Your priorities are out of line. Hey, you can't keep putting off your salvation. You can't put off eternity. Can't put that off. God wants you to prioritize believer. He wants you to prioritize fellowship with Him. Prioritize fellowship with Him. You know what? God wants to speak to you through His Word, and He wants you to speak to Him through prayer. God wants every single person in here to do that. And you make excuses of why you don't have the time or even the resources. But listen, it's not a time and it's not a resource problem. It's a priority problem.
Yes, sir.
Every time that I've stepped away from fellowship with God, it was not a time problem. We all have the same amount of time in a week.
Yes, sir.
It was not a time problem. No, it's a priority problem in my life and in my heart. So it's not a resource problem. It's a priority problem. God wants you to prioritize the ministry of the local church.
Yes, sir.
Hey, the first, Brother Josh, the first thing that I see is a church's responsibility in the New Testament is to assemble.
Yeah, amen.
Assemble. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another.
Yeah.
And so much the more. As you see the day approaching, and hey, He wants you involved in the mission of Gateway Baptist Church, which was mentioned so well this evening with the radio broadcast, which is the Great Commission. It's going out and teaching and preaching the gospel and seeing them baptized, and then those baptized individuals going out and doing the same thing. That's the Great Commission. That's God. That's the mission of the New Testament church. And listen, if you aren't faithfully serving in the ministry of the church, and faithfully involved in the mission of your local church, it probably isn't a resource problem, but a priority problem.
Yeah, come on.
Brother Josh, you can probably always have some more teachers.
Amen.
You can probably always have someone else involved in outreach and all these different things. Hey, listen, based off my little experience in ministry, there's not a preacher out there that's going to turn you away from doing something. Amen. Is that right, Brother Josh? I mean, hey, if you ask Brother Josh to get involved, he's going to put you somewhere. Amen. Hey, listen, it's not a resource problem. It's a priority problem. Number two, when we prioritize our work before God's work, we bring the chastening hand of God
Amen.
In our lives.
Yes, sir.
Listen tonight, that's the saddest thing about this passage is that the remnant who are blessed by God, they were blessed by God because they lived their comfortable, self-centered lives, God had to chasten them. God had to chasten them. You see this all the way starting there in verse 5 through 7. Haggai is calling them. He says, consider your ways. You're going to see that repeated in verse 7. Consider your ways. He's telling them, hey, set your heart. Set your heart on the way and the direction of your life.
Amen.
Consider it. Consider where you're headed in life.
Amen.
Look at the things that's following your life. Listen, by the way, if you look at consider your ways, these phrases, it's followed by a list of things that's going wrong.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Listen, so some of us tonight, when you're thinking about what God wants you to do and you're prioritizing your work over His work, hey, you have chastened, God has chastened you. God has allowed some things to come into your lives. And He's telling you tonight, hey, consider your ways. Set your heart to the direction of your life. Because all these things are going bad for you. He says right here, they've sown much and they're bringing in little. Hey, the nation of Israel, they were not dumb when it came to agriculture. They knew how to sow. They knew how to plant. They knew how to do these things. But listen, God's saying, hey, because you are not prioritizing my work, everything that you're doing is going to naught.
Right.
It's going to nothing. So consider your ways, and he tells them to work. In verse 9, we really have the culmination of this. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. It's as if God is taking everything that they worked for and labored for, and he's just, it's gone. Nothing's there. Nothing's there. And you know what? Why? Verse 9. I love it when the Bible gives us the answers. Because of mine house that it is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. God chastens His children. Listen, we have to understand this tonight. God chastens His children so they will realign with the work that He has them to do. God chastens you. God chastens me when we're not in line with Him, so that He can realign us.
Amen.
He can realign us so that He can get us back on the path that we need to be, and so that we can get the work accomplished. Just as God's message was to the people through His messenger Haggai, hey, I have the same message this evening. Hey, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Set your heart. Look at maybe even circumstances that's going on in your life. And I'm not saying, hey, the book of Job was a righteous man. He had bad things happen to good people.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that tonight. I'm not saying that everything bad that happens to your life is because you're not where God wants you to be. Because, hey, those trials, according to the book of James, is there to perfect us and to grow us and to mature us into someone that would be pleasing to Christ. And so we need to understand that. But also, look at the things that are going on in your life. Are some things happening because you're not aligned with God? Are some things happen because your priorities have drifted to what you want and to your comforts and your desires and have drifted away from what God has called you to do? Is God trying to realign your priorities to His? That's a tough way to be. That's a tough place to be. I've been there. I've been where God is having to realign me with what He wants. It's not fun. But, oh, Brother Josh, I'm so thankful for God's mercy.
Yes,
I'm thankful for God's mercy being willing to come alongside us and to realign us. He doesn't just leave us be. No, He comes and tries to realign us with what He wants for us. When we prioritize our work before God's, that brings the chastening hand of God on our lives. But listen, God is so merciful. God is so gracious. It doesn't happen immediately. We every day we get misaligned with what, if we're honest,
yeah.
If we're honest, we get misaligned with what God wants us to do. We get misaligned with the work that He wants us to do. And so that's a daily thing. And God is so merciful that He will gently, sometimes He'll hit us on the side of the head because we need it and we're stubborn. And so we have to be realigned with what He wants us to do. And it's not because God doesn't chasten us because He doesn't love us. God's not chastening you because He doesn't love you. Same way I have to get on to my daughter sometimes and she has to be disciplined. It's not because I don't love her. It's because I do love her.
Amen.
I do love her. And that's the same with God. God has to chasten His children when we're not aligned with Him. We are robbing ourselves of great blessings when our priorities don't align with His. When our priorities don't align with His plan, we rob ourselves of great blessing. God is not pleased. I mean, look at all that's going down from verse 5 through verse 11. All of these things are happening. Everything they're doing, everything they're working for, all the planting and the work, it's going to naught because they didn't align themselves with God's will. Listen, God is pleased when we obey and prioritize His work. His work. Our goal in life should be to please the Lord. Simple. Simple. Just please the Lord. Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, hey, this is the whole duty of man. Fear the Lord. Fear God. Hey, and listen to Him, obey the Lord, and to please Him. And I want to hear Him say, when I stand before Him, I want to hear Him say, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Well done, you ran a good race. But listen to me, God is not pleased if my priorities are not in line with His.
Right.
But when I turn around and get my priorities and you get your priorities realigned, God can then work. God can work and do great things.
Yeah.
God can work and do mighty things. I see all that God did in the nation of Israel's life. And what He did, how He cared and loved His people, and God was so gracious and blessed them in great ways. We pick up here in verse 12 through the end of the chapter. Man, this is every preacher's wish right here. You preach a message and man, they just get right. Right?
Amen.
That's everything. Hey, they got right with God. It says right here, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, in verse 12, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God.
Amen.
And the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And listen, notice this. And the people did, what's that word? Fear.
Amen.
And the people did fear the Lord. Hey, when God's people are not in line with God's priorities and they're not obeying Him, that means that we no longer fear Him how we should. That means we no longer fear the Lord how we should. When we reverence Him, when we understand who God is and how much God has done for us, and we have that reverence and healthy fear of God, hey, we will be living right. We will be pleasing the Lord. We will be obeying the Lord. They begin to work again. It talks about how they built the house and the Lord stirred them up there in verse 14. And listen, God did a great work. And when the people were obedient, He stirred up the leaders and the people, they get back to work after 16 years. God stirred them up. God stirred them up. God began to do a work again. Why? Was it because of Haggai? Not necessarily. I mean, God used Haggai. He was the messenger. But listen, the people got serious about God's work again. They got their priorities realigned with Him. They had responsibilities. It was a good thing that they had houses. In a sense of, hey, they were taking responsibility for their family. They were taking care and they understood that they had responsibilities. But listen, they had to really just focus on what God wanted them to do, not on what they wanted.
Right.
They had to realign their priorities. Hey, do you desire? Do you desire to please God? Do I really desire to please Him? Where are our priorities? Where are your priorities tonight? Are they in the work of the Lord? Brother Brian, I'm here at church on a Sunday night. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad you're here. But where are your priorities Monday through Saturday? Where are your priorities tomorrow morning? Hey, you have responsibilities. We all have responsibilities. I understand that. But listen, we need to make sure that our priorities are right in line with what God has given us in this book. Amen. Our priorities have to be right in line. Hey, you know what? Here's our tendency. If I could sum us all up in one sentence, here it is. We tend to prioritize our work over God's work.
Come on.
That is our tendency.
Yes, sir.
We are naturally bent to what I want and not what God wants.
You're right.
That is our natural bend. I mean, look at Genesis chapter number 3.
Yes.
Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. Hey, you know what? They weren't really, they wanted what they wanted. And so then we have this whole thing from Genesis chapter 3 that we're struggling with and dealing with this sin and this sin nature. But listen, if God's work that God has called us to do has been placed on the back burner, it goes back to the beginning. It's not a resource problem, but a problem with our priorities. Hey, do you need to realign your priorities this evening? Search your heart. Really, look, reflect back. Look at what you look at the first half of 2026.
Yeah.
Have you been prioritizing what God has called you to do? Have you been prioritizing what God has called you and His will for your life? And have you been prioritizing that? And hey, this is a great time to reflect on that. We all have something that God wants us to do. My call is not your call. And vice versa. Hey, we all have different things that God wants us to do. But there is a, listen, get this evening. There is a work that God wants you to do. There is a work. There is something that God wants you to rebuild. There is some things that God wants you to build up in your life and in the lives of other people. There's something that God has called you to do. And we need to be aligned with that mission of our lives. Have you prioritized your work over His? Your nice houses. Nothing against nice houses. But that's, let's illustrate that as your work. The nice houses that the people were staying in, hey, that's our work. The temple that needed to be rebuilt, that's God's work. So how is it in our lives? What are we prioritizing? Have you been using the resources that God has provided for you to prioritize your work over His? Listen, let's ask that again. Let's consider that again. The resources that God has provided you. The resources, the materials that you need in this life to build and to obey the call that God has placed on your life. Those materials, those things, whatever they might be in your life, are you using that? Are you using those things for the work that He's called you to do or for your own work? Because God provided those resources. God provided, hey, let's connect it to the song. God provided those blessings. God gave you those blessings. What are you doing with them? Are you prioritizing your work or His work with those resources that He has provided? We have to understand that. We have to reflect on that. We have to consider our ways. Consider, set your heart to what you're doing. Set your heart to the direction of your life. What can fight for priority in our time? Hey, I'm a dad now. Got a 2.5-year-old and a 9-month-old. Man, time. Time is everything. Time is everything. Prioritizing that. Well, what can fight for that? Any family can fight for that. Work can fight for that. Our personal comforts can even fight for our time, and we can devote our time to making sure we're comfortable all the while God's work isn't being touched. All the while, God's work is still laying there. The possibility of a promotion at work can take away from God's work. That promotion, hey, it might bring more money, but what does it cost in the long run?
Come on.
Are you out of church? Is it taking you away from your family? What's the cost in the long run? Hey, listen, here's a sentence that I want you to take home with you. Hey, realign with Him.
Yes, sir.
Realign. If you're facing that issue with prioritizing, this is what you need to do. Tomorrow morning, realign with Him.
Yes, sir.
Realign. The new hobbies and activities that you get involved in can take us away from God's work. It can take you away from the work that God has called you to do. I believe that God wants us to be involved in things. I believe that God created trees so that you could climb up a tree stand and shoot a deer. That's what God created trees for. Very limited there, but hey, God wants to enjoy things. But listen, if that's taking you away from God's work, if those sports and activities are taking you away from God's work, you know what it's time to do? It's time for you to realign with Him.
Amen.
Realign with the book. Realign with His call for your life.
Yes, sir.
God's given us finances. Do your finances show that God is prioritized? Do your finances show that God is priority? Brother Josh didn't tell me to preach on money. Did you, Brother Josh? You didn't tell me to preach on it. But is our finances reflecting that God is prioritized in my life? Are we involved in giving to missions? Are we involved in giving and showing that, man, the gospel needs to be spread across the world? Do our finances reflect that? Hey, if it's not, realign with Him.
Yes, sir.
The work of God, listen, and I'm done. Famous last words of a Baptist preacher. Listen, the work of God suffers when it isn't prioritized by His people.
Amen.
The work of God in your life. There's something going to be missing. If you aren't prioritizing His work in your life, you're not prioritizing His house, the family that you have. You're not prioritizing time with Him and fellowship with Him, a growing relationship with Him. Then listen, that's going to affect your life. That's going to affect the work that God has called you to do. Listen, we have to be committed. We have to be prioritizing the work that God has called you and that God has called me to do. Because listen, the work of God suffers when it's not prioritized by His people. Hey, look to the remainder of this year and just determine, hey, I'm going to realign with Him. If there's something that God has pointed out to you even tonight, hey, just go ahead and say that you're going to realign your priorities with His plan for your life. And I believe that God will greatly bless your life. And God will do great things in your life and in my life if we just realize and get to that place where, God, You've called me to do something. You've called me, God. You've given me a work. You've given me something to build. You've given me a house to build. God, help me not to spend all Your precious resources on what I want. But help me, Lord, just to realign with You. Lord, I thank You. Thank You for this day. God, I thank You for the opportunity just to share a little bit from Your Word. And I pray that You'd help every one of us in here tonight, God, to go this week and to live our lives realigned with You. Lord, and I'm so thankful that I know that there are those in here tonight that are living. They're living right in line with what You want them to do. God, help them to continue on. God, help them to continue to live a life that's aligned with Your plan and not theirs. Lord, I pray You just help and bless the invitation time this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Josh.